Hello again, Gunners. No music again. What's going on with that? I don't know, but what should we have? Let's have a booing sound effect, which I can't hear, but no doubt you can. Right, anyway, I just thought I'd catch up with you because obviously Arsenal's pre-season rolls on, and it was a victory, yet another victory, this time against Orlando. Not Orlando Bloom, but the football team known as Orlando. They've got a decent side, actually. There's Alexandre Pato playing up front for them. The 32-year-old Brazilian seems to have disappeared. I mean, that's how we always feel when players go to apply their trade in America. They go right off our radar, but it doesn't mean they can't play. And he was pretty decent. And the guy who scored for them, Torres, he looked pretty good too. There was somebody else, I'm trying to think of his name, but yeah, from a forward perspective, Orlando, gave Arsenal some problems. So, obviously, the big news, though, is Zinchenko. Zinchenko, it looks like he's going to sign. I don't think the deal's done just yet, although there have been some stories that it is done. Again, that's not altogether surprising because even Arteta has come out to say more or less that there's a few bits and pieces to sort out, but the view is anyway that it's gonna go through that particular deal. Breaking news. Oh, what did Arteta say about? Let's get Arteta's quotation, shall we? On Alexander Zinchenko, he was watching from the stands. Apparently, he was wearing an Arsenal shirt. Although when I saw the footage, I didn't necessarily think that was true. Didn't look very Arsenal to me, seeing as they were wearing black. That kit, by the way, is, you know, if ever I wanted to buy a replica kit, it's that one. Anyway, so the black kit apparently as well is the best-selling kit ever at Arsenal, at least. And anyway, he wasn't wearing black. He was wearing white. So I don't know. I think there's a training kit that maybe is white. It's not the most popular colour at Arsenal, let's face it. But anyway, that's what I saw Zinchenko wearing. And anyway, looks like he's going to sign. Arteta said, I'm taking this off the official website. He says, yeah, you've seen he's here. There are still a few formalities to get everything completed, but we're really happy to have him. I know the player really well. He's an exceptional footballer. He's someone that's going to bring as well another competitive edge to that dressing room. He's 25. He can play in defence or midfield. He used to play as a number 10, but he's played at left back quite a lot. So Arteta said that versatility is something that's going to be important for the team because we have players in that position who are more specific as full backs. So I'm really happy. Well, of course, the pressure now is on Nuno Tavares to step it up. Tien is still injured. As I've mentioned before, one of the reasons why I wasn't overly pleased, even though, of course, Tien is a great player. The reason why I wasn't overly pleased when Arsenal signed him was because he's had career-threatening injuries. Somebody said, I think, on Le Grove, the podcast, said that that his problem is structural in as much as not like Tomiyasu with his muscular injury problems. It's more about, Tierney probably just played too many games as a youngster. And then there's a knock-on effect. So it's going to be difficult to keep Tierney fit. Same seems to apply to Tomiyasu. I was checking about his involvement with Japan because a lot of Arsenal fans are pretty upset that Tomiyasu went away with the national side. But When I checked the game, they lost to Tunisia 3-0. Tomiyasu didn't even play in that game. He was on the bench. But clearly, whatever calf problem he's got seems to be persistent. And when I looked at his injury record, it was pretty shocking reading, actually. I might share it with you if I can find it soon enough. But I made it something like 6 injuries in a very short space of time. Let's go through those injuries, shall we? I'm sort of there or thereabouts. But no, it seems to have vanished right off my screen now. I think it's because I was looking at the actual game that he played against Tunisia, getting the stats on that. And now I'm stuck on Japan versus Tunisia. No, okay, I'm there now. I'm there. Just thank you for bearing with me. Right, what's he had in terms of injuries? This, I'm using a. I might as well plug the website while I'm here. I'm using a website called Soccerway, which I think is pretty good. Okay, so what's he had in the past? Yeah, it's not six. It's five injuries. So December, the last December, he had a calf /shin injury. So I think we'd take that as a calf injury. Then he got a virus. So, you know, that's going to happen to most people nowadays, it seems. So that was Boxing Day. That was his little present for Boxing Day. So then right after that in January, another calf injury. And now my screen's gone funny. But the following month, more or less, it's always the 20-something of the month, he seems to succumb to some injury. Well, it was a calf injury again. And then apparently got a hamstring injury, which was supposed to keep him out of action until June. Well, he's still not in action. We're getting near August now. So whether it's a hamstring, whether it's a calf, who knows? But he's on record as having three calf injuries, one hamstring injury. Who knows what he's actually struggling with at the moment? I think he's one of those players. I think he'll be all right in the end. At least I hope so. But I think he's one of those players that continually gets injured because he's so desperate to play football. He loves the game. It's quite obvious to see when you watch him play. He plays with a certain zest. And, well, zest is what we saw in the second half against Orlando as well, with Gabriel Jesus coming on. He certainly added the zip to the whole team. There were four other changes at halftime. So Turner came in goal for Ramsdale. Matt Turner, he kept a clean sheet in the second half. Looked pretty solid. Didn't have a lot to do, though, because Arsenal were really on the front foot in the second half. And at right back, I think we may well see Ben White playing at right back at the start of the season. His passing was snappy. He's been injured, but he looked quite sharp, actually. And he brought Pepe into the game, which was just as well, because Pepe had a pretty rough first half. And I think, as I said before, White will probably start the season at right back. Holding, who was captain for the first half, he was relatively solid. I didn't think he did much wrong. But he got a yellow card in the first half. He was replaced by Saliba, and people were raving about Saliba, and I actually could see why after this game. He just showed how good he, you know, in one situation when he was up against Michel in particular, he just out-muscled him. He was excellent with his feet, wasn't particularly ambitious, but he didn't give the ball away once, not even once. His positioning was immaculate against Michel. He was strong, fast, cool, calm and collected. What else do you need out of a centre-back? Thing is, Arsenal need to get him signed to a longer-term deal as soon as possible. Gabriel, alongside Holding and then later Saliba, when he came on second half, he was certainly more switched on than Pablo Mari, who started the game. Pablo Mari had a strange game. He was quite good from a passing perspective, but the issue with Mari was he just didn't seem very switched on. He was jogging back when possession was lost. Didn't really seem to care that much. Although at times put some effort in. In that regard, he was a bit similar to Maitland-Niles, who I may talk about later. But Maitland-Niles, he's got everything, really, that you need to be a top footballer, except has he got the right attitude? I'm not always sure. But he's certainly got the technical ability. I'm not sure always about his footballing brain. I think that's why it's difficult for him to play in central midfield. He would be far better off playing right or left back. I'm sure he doesn't want to hear that, but that's how it appears at the moment. But he's getting a chance to play in central midfield, so Arteta can't be blamed, that's for sure. Okay, well, talking of left back, Tavares, his second half was more assured than the first half, but he did sky a couple of long-range efforts. I'm not so sure that's a bad thing, because it's better he tries things out, certainly in pre-season matches. And people say Tavares is not a goal-scoring left-back, but I'm not so sure that's true. I won't. If he does get a run at left-back, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he... I don't expect him to get double figures, but if he played, for example, he's not going to play 38 games, but say he did, if he didn't score four or five goals, I'd be a little bit surprised, because I think he offers a lot going forward, and he's not scared to take a shot at goal, which can't be a bad thing. Bellerin came on to replace him. He looked quite good in his 6 minutes, even though he's on the left. I think Bellerin almost looks like he wants to be back at Arsenal. I'm not sure how sold he is on the process or Arteta, but he's putting in a decent shift whenever he's called upon. Pepe, as I mentioned before, his first half was pretty rough, but second half, much better. He should have won a penalty. He was a bit unlucky. The officiating let him down there. So Pepe caused a few problems, not as many as Saka, who replaced him. Saka was the recipient of a lot of cheering when he came on. As soon as he came on, he beat his man convincingly, almost immediately. And that really highlighted what Pepe had struggled to do for 60 minutes. He also registered an assist, and he nearly scored himself from close range against the so-called octopus in Orlando's goal. Odegaard came on, took the captain's armband. He played some incisive passes and helped out defensively. Had a pretty solid game, as did Elneny, who started the second half promisingly, did all right in the first. I think can rely on Elneny, but he's not gonna play the same kind of passes that Odegaard does, but he just tidies up. I like Elneny in the team. Partey replaced Elneny. He looked a bit rusty. His control let him down at one point when somebody passed the ball to him. He just knocked it off for a throw. He just couldn't control the ball. So he did look rusty, but he did hit the target with a dipping free kick. Wasn't that powerful, but still. He put a few passes together, but they weren't particularly incisive. Didn't look very energetic. Lokonga was much more energetic in the second half. He had a pretty strong, powerful shot on target. And then after that, he was hooked off to be replaced by Xhaka, who's feeling the love of the fans at last. He certainly deserves it. He's not surrendering possession the way he used to back in the old days. He also went close with a free kick, which was quite an unusual one. It just dipped over the wall pretty low, and it apparently might have shaved the post, but it was quite hard to see. Gabriel Jesus, what can you say about him? He's almost like a Superman. He should wear an S on his chest. He was getting hacked away at by the opponents, mainly because he's such a handful. He inadvertently set up Nketiah for Arsenal's second goal. And this guy is just a ball of energy. The only thing that worries me with Gabriel Jesus is he's a marked man. He's going to get fouled so much. He's getting fouled enough in pre-season to make me worried. Anyway, let's hope he stays injury-free. If he does, I think Arsenal could quite easily finish in the top four. And Nketiah, meanwhile, he looks pretty sharp. He was clinical in front of goal when the ball dropped to him after Gabriel Jesus was thwarted, and he took his chance really well. I think that five-year deal and the number 14 shirt are working wonders for him and his confidence. Reece Nelson, I only wrote him off in the last game. I said, I think Reece Nelson's finished at Arsenal. I'm not so sure now. He only had 15 minutes or so to stake a claim, but he did so well to score with a volley from Saka's cross. And then he nearly added to it with a powerful shot from a free kick, which was from quite an angle too. So to get that on target with as much power as he managed, I think was quite an achievement. So it was pretty good going, that display, second half display. The first half, people don't really want to talk about that. I mentioned a few things about it. Let's see if there's anything that I didn't mention. I do want to say, though, that playing American opponents is no longer an easy option for the preseason. If you don't believe me, ask Chelsea and Everton. Everton got smashed 4-0. I forget who by, but Chelsea, did they draw? I'm not sure. But Chelsea, of course, next up in the Florida Cup series for Arsenal. But both teams, Chelsea and Everton, have struggled against American opposition. So let's not kid ourselves and think Orlando as a walk in the park, because clearly it wasn't that. Ramsdale had to make a really good save with his feet in the first half, but he did concede a goal. He's had a lot of stick about this goal, and I don't quite see why. The shot was quite a long way out. It was about 25 yards out, but I personally thought it was quite hard to save. It was Torres, I think, and he seemed to be going in one direction, then he kind of twisted his body and shot in the opposite direction. It came through a couple of players as well. So I think Ramsdale probably saw it late. Personally, as much as I rate Bernd Leno as a shot stopper, I don't think he would have saved it. So I really don't understand why Ramsdale's getting criticism for that goal. Although, you know, nobody's immune to criticism. And there were, I recommend that you do listen to the Le Grove podcast. I'm not trying to make you go elsewhere. Sure, please stay with me and Fizzy when he gets back. But yeah, they come up with some really good points there. But the one I disagreed with was Ramsdale. Although I had to agree with them, they were criticising his second half of the season, saying that he wasn't really doing what he was doing in the first half of the season. And I think we had a discussion, Fizzy and I, about whether Ramsdale should actually be in the team after Leno deputised so well. So the other thing that came out of their podcast was they were discussing whether or not Leno should be sold to Fulham. Well, based on this showing, I suppose it's okay to let him go, but 10 million doesn't sound a lot of money. And if it's anything less than that, it doesn't seem really good value for a goalkeeper who's pretty strong, let's face it. Leno, if he was so good, why did he lose his place to Ramsdale? Well, he's obviously not as good with his feet as Ramsdale is. Matt Turner looked pretty strong with his footwork as well. So you can see why Leno's not really what Arteta's looking for, but he'll certainly do a great job for Fulham, I would imagine. Okay, meanwhile, for the first half, Cedric, pretty solid. He didn't do anything amazing, didn't make any glaring errors. I like that in a defender. Holding got booked, as I mentioned earlier, competed well, generally. Mari, as I mentioned before, he doesn't really look 100% focused. Tavares, something that's not been picked up on other websites or even podcasts, as far as I know, is Tavares did a pretty good job sweeping up at one point near the end of the first half. He saved a certain goal, really. And even though, yes, he is suspect positionally, he proved on that occasion that he knows, or he has got some football awareness. Pepe, as I mentioned earlier, he struggled a bit in the first half. I think it wasn't great having him alongside Maitland-Niles. Maitland-Niles, his passing was pretty sloppy. His fitness, questionable. The reason why I say that, he was pulling back an opponent's shirt for no particular reason in the middle of the park. I don't know why he was doing it. But I don't know what's up with him. He, technically, as I said, he's a top player, but it's just something's not quite clicking with him at the moment. But maybe it will. Maybe it's just because he's playing in central midfield and needs to move to right or left back. Elneny, as I mentioned earlier, he was pretty solid, unspectacular though. Lokonga didn't really do that well in the first half, even though he didn't play much of the second. He looked much sharper in the second half. I'm wondering if that was because Lokonga got moved more centrally in the second half. The first half is more out on the left. I don't think it suits him too much. Martinelli arguably got the first goal. I say arguably because it took a wicked deflection. So a lot of what is it, the dubious goals panel were out in force trying to take his goal away because it wasn't necessarily going to go in, but it was, as it probably wasn't goal-bound, but it was going towards the goal-ish. So me personally, if it's going towards the goal-ish, I would totally give the goal to the striker. Why do we have to keep giving, making everything an own goal? It's so annoying, especially if you're a striker. I felt for Martinelli, it should be his goal. Not that it really counts. You won't see it on his career record because it's friendly. And then Nketiah, what a great first half he had. Totally tireless, chased down everything. And even went close to adding the second goal. So actually, yeah, I was pretty pleased with the performance overall. Let's see, is there anything else I need to cover? Probably not. Nobody's really dropped by. So on that note, if I can find the right button, I will end this and say adios, amigos.